Let's get things started by going out to Minnesota with the Red Sox up their winning streak to 5 last night with a victory over the Minnesota Twins. Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe is out in Minnesota covering the team, and he joins us this afternoon. Hey, Pete, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, no problem, Rich.
Man, oh man, so every time I feel like I'm about to give up on this team, they start playing some good baseball, and they're on, their second best stretch of the season right now, led by that tremendous pitching staff and the resurgent James Paxton.
Yeah, Paxton has been huge for them because when he came into the season, you didn't really know what to expect. And then he injured his hamstring in spring training and opened the year on the injured list again. But and since he's come back, he's been the James Paxton of old, being able to give them good starts, go deep into the game, kind of serve as a mentor to their younger pitchers. And especially with Chris Sale, you know, gone until at least August, if not the rest of the season, he's given that rotation some leadership that they really needed.
Absolutely. Any updates on Tanner Houck's status?
Well, we're supposed to find out more later on today. He's going to have a meeting with a specialist in Boston to try to figure out exactly the state of the fractures that he has in his cheek and to what degree that'll keep him out. To be sure, you know, he's on the injured list now, and I'm sure it's going to be a while before he's able to come back. But they're hoping it's not going to be an extended period. It seemed like he got lucky, you know, in the spot, in the sense that where he was hit, not certainly with what happened. And they're hopeful that this could be a shorter-term thing than a longer-term thing.
Now, I also wanted to mention the great work of Brian Bayo. Certainly the Yankees are not murderer's row, especially with Judge out of the lineup, but Bayo just continues to impress, and it was, to me, the command and the confidence that he showed in that game.
Yeah, having seen him in spring training the last few years when he was coming up as a prospect, you always saw that he was a player who had good stuff and had the arm action and could throw a good fastball, had a good changeup, but it was unrefined, and he had to learn how to pitch to certain situations. He had to learn the routine of a starter, the 4 games between starts, the 4 days between starts, and how best to put those to use in terms of getting ready physically, getting ready mentally, preparing a game plan. And that's all stuff he's made, I think, great strides in when you go back to maybe the middle of last season. A big part of it was with the pandemic restrictions lifted, he was able to spend time with Pedro Martinez in person and talk to him about a lot of different things in terms of pitching, and you certainly can't find a better mentor than that. And it's coming together for him, and the confidence that he shows on the mound is very easy to see. The faith that Alex Cora has in him and Dave Bush has in him, that's also very clear to see with the situations that they let him pitch through. And this is a guy, if not an ace, I think he certainly has a future as a number 2 starter on a good team at least, and somebody that they can build around going forward.
We're talking with Pete Abraham here on Downtown. Pete, how important is this road trip in determining what the Red Sox will do come trade deadline time?
Yeah, I think every game now for the next month or so is going to be very important because they are kind of on that edge where you wonder what they'll do, and they're certainly not in a division that makes it very easy for them. If they were in the AL Central, they'd be in first place by 4 games, but they're not. So it's you look at the Twins, who are a team that's been slumping of late. Then they go to the White Sox, who have been one of the worst teams in baseball. It's hard to say you need to win every series on the road against these teams, but you know, in a sense, they do in the situation that they're in. So, this is a big opportunity this week for the Sox to gain some ground and to try to turn the course of their season around and get back on the winning side for good. And when I covered the Yankees and was around Joe Torre, he always talked about get to 500, then get to 5 games over 500, then get to 10 games over 500, and just don't look at it as where we're going to be in a month. Look at it in 10 or 15 day blocks and just keep adding to being over 500, and eventually you'll get to where you need to be. But they haven't been able to, they've kind of been hovering around that line the whole season. So if they can steadily get over it this week, I think that sets them up for some success.
It's interesting, the shuffling that's gone on with the lineup right now, and you wrote about it Sunday in your notes column in the Boston Globe, and Tristan Casas had a big home run last night, but as you pointed out, he has been not just one of the worst, but statistically the worst defensive first baseman in the game.
Yeah, and they've been spending a lot of time now before games putting him through some drills like you would see normally in spring training to try to improve that defensive first base. And one of the things that they think they've hit upon was he was spending a lot of time before games working on unusual plays, you know, like plays that would be way off first base or throws from first base to third base, which you don't normally see. And they want him to just focus on the regular stuff, you know, making good plays at first base, digging balls out of the dirt from the infielders, making a good throw to second base. You know, don't worry about the unusual plays. Make sure you're in the right position on balls to the outfield to cut the ball off, which has been something he's had trouble with. So, you know, to what degree that works paying off, we're not going to know for a little bit because it's really only been maybe the last week or 10 days that we've seen them doing that. And, it speaks to a lot of different things that when he was first called up, he probably wasn't fully prepared on the defensive side. And that this is a guy who's been a bat-first player his entire career, going back to high school. He's always been a good prospect because he could really hit. He was never very fast. He was never a very good defender. And that's catching up with him at the big league level. So I think they're trying to round out his game and make him a more complete player. And to see, really, you know, is this a guy that they can play at first base on a, you know, going forward on a long-term basis?
Jaron Duran had some struggles there for a few weeks, but seems to be bouncing back. A great night last night, that tremendous catch against the Yankees over the weekend. Has he secured himself a place in the starting lineup yet?
Yeah, it's you know, that's a good question because with Adam Duvall back, it's kind of a day-to-day decision because they're obviously very committed to playing Verdugo in right field and Yoshida in left field with some time at designated hitter. And Duvall was, you know, the guy they initially signed to be their center fielder, and he had a terrific start to the season before breaking his wrist. So four doesn't go into three very easily, and they're very committed to playing Rob Refsnyder against left-handers. So it's kind of a constant juggling act for Alex Cora and the coaches to figure out what they want to do with the outfield. I wonder if eventually we'll see, you know, Duvall at first base. You know, they haven't done that yet, but I do wonder if that could be something they do because he has played there before. And whether they start to play Justin Turner in the field more often and open up DH at-bats, whether it's for Yoshida or Duvall. So at the beginning of the season, they thought they had a pretty set lineup. And now, as we're in the middle of June, I think every day you walk in, I know I do, and say, well, who's going to be the outfield today? Because beyond Verdugo in right field, they do have some sort of day-to-day decisions to make with left field and center field.
And what does Bobby Dalbec have to do to get another shot?
Probably go to another team, it would seem like, because it's not really happening for him here. You know, it's understandable. They don't need necessarily another corner infielder. He did have a pretty significant chance, you know, be it last year and the year before. Had 117 games last year, was a regular in 2021. I mean, it's unfair to, you know, you can't judge him on the 11 at-bats that he had this season, certainly. But he has shown, you know, he's better than AAA. With the way he's hit for Worcester this year, he's clearly made improvements with his plate discipline. He's drawing a lot more walks, not striking out as often as he was. So it's, you know, at this point, I can understand why they wouldn't want to trade him because he's a good guy to have around if there were injuries, whether it would be for third base or first base. But, you know, he's also at now 28 years old, you know, shown that he can do everything he can do in the minor leagues. I wonder if at the trade deadline or at some point, you know, he might be included in a deal, maybe part of something larger, and give him a fresh start somewhere else.
So if they hit the trade deadline within, let's say, four or five games of a wild card spot and they've positioned themselves as buyers, don't try to do that strange dance they did last year at the deadline, what's their biggest need?
I would think it has to be starting pitching because you don't know if Sale is going to be able to come back. And at this point, you certainly can't trust him to be healthy when he does come back, given the litany of injuries. And they're going to start running into some innings issues with, you know, both Whitlock and Bayo and Crawford and Houck, because those guys have never pitched more than, you know, anywhere close to 100 innings in a big league season. So it's going to be, you know, they're not just going to run those guys into the ground because those guys are a big part of their future. So they're going to need, if they do add at least one or two star, you know, guys who can give them solid innings over the course of time and allow them to, whether it's, you know, give Bayo an occasional day off, not a day off, but, you know, an extra day before he would pitch. The same thing with Whitlock. You know, Whitlock's the guy who was coming off an injury last year. So, yeah, I think it has to be starting pitching because offensively they're in pretty good shape, but the rotation has been a question mark all season long.
And maybe you have to look at the National League because I think when I checked the standings this morning, there are only four teams under 500 in the American League, and three of them are still in contention in the Central Division.
Yeah, it's very strange when you look at what's going on, because those Central teams, the Guardians and the Twins, they're not going to give up on their seasons because they can get in the playoffs. So it's going to they're not going to be teams that are likely to be trading people away. And you look in the National League Central, and it's the same thing. Mm. The Reds and the Brewers and the Pirates are all probably thinking, hey, we have a chance to win the division. We're within three or four games. And in the West, with the Diamondbacks and the Giants and the Dodgers, all certainly contenders, and the Padres have to think they're going to be better too. So I don't know where it's hard to identify where you would be able to get players from. I guess the Rockies and the Nationals, the Royals, Oakland, but those teams aren't brimming with good starting pitchers. So it's going to be interesting because there's definitely going to be, it seems like, more teams trying to add than there would be teams trying to sell.
Hey, I like the news I saw about Bruce Springsteen releasing another album of covers. The last one, Only the Strong Survive, I thought was terrific.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm on a lot of Springsteen message boards and reading people and everything, and there seems to be mixed reactions to that because folks want to have a Tracks 2 released of all the stuff that we haven't heard in the vault. Now, whether you could do both of those things at the same time, I don't know. And then there was a report that his old bandmate, David Sanchez, did an interview with a magazine and said he was going to go on tour behind the new covers record.
Wow.
Which would certainly be interesting. So I'm just hoping when I go to Foxborough in August that I hear some different songs than what I heard earlier in the tour. That would be good.
Yeah, well, always something different when Bruce plays live. You know that.
Absolutely.
Hey, Pete, always great to talk with you. We appreciate you making time for us. Travel safely out there with the Sox, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Great talking to you, Rich. Thank you.